asking Apili to sing a great song called I Speak Jesus. And I want this to minister to you, and particularly if you're watching video this morning, just let this touch your heart. This is a powerful song written by Darlene Check, and she's written many great songs over the years. Great lady. And so come on, Apili, come on up. Where are you going to position yourself out here? I'll move this out of the way.
Darkness over it.
Thank you, Apuli. That is so powerful. I speak Jesus. You can get that song on YouTube. And I'd encourage you, when you're battling something, when you're struggling, even when you're feeling good, just play it. It'll stir something. It'll lift faith in your spirit, I promise you. And we need to do that, don't we? We've got to be people of faith and belief. All right, this morning I want to share a message with you. And let me make this comment before I do. We, next Sunday, want to have like a Vision Sunday. And I want to be careful saying Vision Sunday because we've made many plans which COVID has affected in that time. We tried to go away on holidays in 2020 and came back early because Brisbane mandated masks, and I thought we're going to get caught in lockdown here. And as much as I love my wife, I knew that 2 weeks in lockdown would drive her crazy living with me. So we came home. And then again in 2021, we tried the same thing with the same results. So I thought, well, I'll stay out of Brisbane and they'll get out of lockdown and they won't have masks. And that's been true. So Brisbane owes me a big favour for doing that to them. So we're challenged. We want to make decisions. We want to say we're going to do this or that. I mean, we would love to go back to South Africa. That's one of my desires. I haven't been there 4 years and I love the country, but that's been impossible too. Maybe this year, maybe next year, who knows? Because rules change. Governments change their mind on things and there's another strain coming and then you know what we're about. But I would like to present to the church next Sunday what we intend to do as a church this year and moving forward in God. The time is upon us. I have stressed for the last 12 months, we are in the end of the end times. We don't have a lot of years left before the rapture happens. And then, of course, that flows into the tribulation along, apart from that, and then later on, the second coming of Jesus. So that's important. And then tomorrow, our school starts back, as do all schools in Mackay. And I don't know what that will look like. I think that once you bring a lot of children together in the primary, they don't have to wear masks. In the secondary, they have to wear masks, but only while they're moving about. Once they're seated in class, they can take them off. Out in the playground, they don't have to wear them. Teachers have to wear them until they are actually face-to-face in the class. They can take them off. And I'm just thinking, this is a wonderful environment for COVID to really get caught up and spread. So who knows what will happen? And we will keep praying for God's provision and protection. Thankfully, what we're facing in COVID at the moment is not as deadly as what it was 12 months ago. And we're praying that people will not die because of COVID. And a lot of people say, I want to get COVID because I'll be protected. Well, that may be. We have Pastor Kane tested positive during the week. His dad, his sister. We've got whole families now that are testing positive for COVID. And they, of course, today are isolating. That's why they're not here. So I just hope that we will see the hand of God on us. If we get COVID, may it just be a simple passing and that we'll be okay. All right? Good news. Thank you for that overwhelming response. I'm really taken away. Hey, God has given the human race the ability to communicate. And that's important. Animals can communicate in certain forms, certain ways, and that's actually bred into them. But we as humans can form thought and express that thought in word. And that word can be conveyed over centuries because just the simple thing of the, we talk about scripture, it was written thousands, some of it was written thousands of years ago, and we have it as though it was written yesterday there for us. And that's the difference between human beings and animals, our ability to think, reason, write our thoughts down, express them, and pass them on to generations beyond us through that. Of course, now there are other media like video and so on that you can do that with as well. But once again, it's a form of communication that's coming forth. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And you think, well, what does that mean? That the Word was God. We know it's talking about Jesus, so Jesus is the Word. But when you talk about the word Word, it doesn't really have any sense about it. It doesn't have a meaning in itself. We know that it expresses something. If we say, well, if I just said to you the Word, you say, yes, waiting for the next part of what I'm going to say. But the word has meaning. And when we go to the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, where it was says that in the beginning was the word, the way the Greek uses language is more expressive than the English. And in fact, there's many meanings of the word. It conveys thought, it conveys intent, it conveys reason, it conveys purpose, and then there are other things there. But I love the thought of purpose. So in the beginning was the purpose. And the purpose was with God, and the purpose was God. It suddenly explains what Jesus is about and why Jesus came. He's more than just the concept of the word. He's what behind the intent of the word, which is God's purpose for mankind and his love for us. So this morning I want to share with you, continuing the kingdom series, the language of the kingdom, because it's important that we are people of language. Language for us is an ability to learn, to gain knowledge and wisdom and express ourselves. It's communication between people, and it's the ability to communicate with God. How important is that? If we didn't have the ability to communicate, how could we talk to our God? He wouldn't even be a concept. We would even come close to understanding or expressing ourselves to him. So what you say conveys what you think. Now, I know a lot of people, you know, the old expression, the mind in neutral and the mouth motors on. People express without thinking what they're saying, but let us say that generally it conveys what we think. In Luke 6, verse 45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So it's important what's in our heart, because that's what comes out of our mouth. So what is the language of the kingdom? Well, the first thing in the language of the kingdom, it is a language of praise. It's not something that we think about or we talk about that much. Sometimes we mention it in songs that we sing. But praise, what exactly? Praise comes out of our mind. Worship comes out of our heart. We worship God in spirit and in truth. But praise is what my mind is saying through my mouth unto God. And we've got to ask ourselves a question. How much do we praise? And the thing is about praise is some people praise God when everything's going well. But praise is despite circumstances. And so if there's bad circumstances, that's a good time to praise. It may not change the circumstance, but it will change you. Something will change inside you. The grip will arise. Faith will begin to arise. You say, okay, God, you've got this. I know you're in control here. I'm got all these bills and the car's not working and da-da-da-da, all these problems, but God. And I'm praising you for that. I'm praising you despite the things that I am feeling. Something will lift in you. The circumstance might not change, but you will. And that's why praise is important. Many years ago, there was a man named Merlin Carruthers who ended up in prison. I can't remember what his offence was, but he was there for quite a while. And I think that's where he found God, in prison. And he began to learn. He read something and he said, I need to praise God. And he wrote a book called From Prison to Praise. And he learnt to praise God despite where he was, despite the suffering of prison. And something happened in his life. It just expanded and grew. He went on, he's dead now, but he went on to found an organisation praising God. And he's written, I think, a dozen books or more on that subject. But the point being, his point was, praise God in every situation, every circumstance. Don't just praise God because the times are good. Don't just praise God because the blessing's on your life. We can praise him for that, certainly. I praise him when the blessing isn't there. Despite what I encounter, Lord, I will praise you. David in the Psalms says that over and over. I'm going through such a terrible time, but I'm going to praise you. You see, it comes out of the mind. It's a determination. It's not what you feel in your heart. It's what you have to determine in your head. It's a choice. I will praise God in every circumstance. I will praise God despite what happens to me. I'll praise God in the good times. I'll praise him in the bad times. Why? Because something happens in me. Something is enlarged in me when I begin to do that. I begin to realize that God is in control. And so often we take God out of the equation. When we start complaining, criticizing, saying how bad things are, how crook I feel, then we're taking God away from the situation. Look, the giants were in the land when they went in there, the children of Israel, 12 spies. There was no doubt there were giants in the land. And so when they came back and said, there are giants in the land, and in their sight, we look like grasshoppers. True, that they weren't telling a lie, but they didn't bring God into the equation. And just Caleb and Joshua said, yeah, but they're fodder for us. We'll eat them. They brought God into it. See, faith is not denying the reality, but it's saying there's something bigger than the reality. When David faced Goliath, he didn't look at Goliath and say, whoa, he's a big boy. Don't think I can handle this. What he looked at, he said, my God will deal with you. I'm the instrument, but my God will deal with you. You see, faith is not denying what's there. So when you praise God, you may be praising in the midst of reality that I'm going through a very, very difficult time, or the circumstances are really horrible, or there's illness in my life, or whatever it might be, family's in trouble. I'm not denying the reality, but I'm praising God, trusting Him in the situation to bring about the solution He wants us. When we talk about the problem and say how bad this is, how bad I feel, we're reinforcing the negativity and we're excluding God from the situation. Do you hear me? We've got to bring God into these things, and praise is one of the ways that we open the door. The Bible says in Psalm 100, enter His courts with praise. Gates with thanksgiving and courts with praise. Into His courts with praise. What does that mean? We're coming into the presence. When we begin to praise God, we open the presence of God over our life. And then God can begin to move in our situation. You know, there's many times, and I include myself in this, where I've excluded God by my language, by my lack of expression of faith, by my lack of praise. And thinking, God's not in this. God can't do this. Be rebuked. I rebuke myself and say, no. God has to be there. We've got to believe that God is doing it. Praise certainly is a choice, and it's despite the circumstances. And then can I say, be specific about your praise. We can say, praise God. But sometimes we've got to say, God, I praise you. You know, and we can talk about the good things. I praise you for your love. I praise you for your blessing. I praise you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you've done this in my life. But sometimes we've got to praise Him and say, Lord, I praise you despite the fact all these things are going wrong in my life, but I'm going to praise you, Lord. And even if this kills me, I'm still going to praise you. Understand? That's the language of the kingdom. The second language of the kingdom is the language of faith. In Hebrews 10:23, the scripture says, Where am I? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. The confession of our hope. I spoke about hope a couple of weeks ago. Hope is much more powerful than we think hope is today. When we talk about hope, it's a wishful thing for us now. But when I say I hope so, it means I confidently believe this will happen. And so the confession of our hope. And then in Hebrews 3:1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Listen, our confession. The word homologia means to say the same thing. That's what it is in the Greek. It is more than thinking something. It requires the use of speech. And sometimes we have to activate speech by action in our lives. I told you about the little train that could. It's a children's story. Anybody read that book? Dear Lord, only those of us over 70 by the look of it. You are missing out on a classic, folks. You should get that little book. It's great for kids. I won't tell you the whole story, but it's about the little train that was called on to replace the big train, which had broken down. And the little train had to get up and over this big hill, hauling whatever important supplies. And as the little train was approaching the hill, I think I can. And, you know, getting up the hill. I think I can. And then as he gets over the hill, I knew I could. So I'm just saying to you, there are times out of our mouth there has to come confessions beyond ourselves. I can't, but God can. I cannot do this, but God in you I can. That's why he filled us with the Holy Ghost, so that we would have the empowering Spirit of God to be able to go forward in the name of the Lord. So when we try and do it in our own strength, we won't get over the hill. But when we call upon him and do it in his strength, we can get over the hill. We can accomplish what God's called us to. I knew I could, I knew I could. John 10:10, Jesus talking about the devil, he said, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. Some of you might be saying, yeah, I'm waiting for that abundant life. But I'm telling you this, either Jesus is telling the truth or he's lying, which he isn't. He's not putting a spin on it. If it's true, but if you sit waiting for the postman to deliver, you'll never live in abundance. You've got to declare, Jesus, you said I would have abundant life. I thank you for it. I will walk in that. I'm confident of that. That doesn't mean you suddenly go out and borrow a lot of money and spend it, say, because Jesus is going to give me a lot of money. You don't do that. But you live an abundant life. There are many, many millionaires, some of them having billions, who would exchange a lot, if not all, for an abundant life. Money doesn't provide an abundant life. It can help, but it's not the key. It's what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. And that's where faith has to be generated in our hearts. We arrive up and we say, Lord, I thank you for the abundant life that you've given me. You might not see it in your mind, but I tell you what, there are billions of people in this earth who would change places with you in a second because of the lifestyle we have, because of the prosperity we have in Australia, because of the opportunities we have in Australia. But we just treat them, okay, I've always had it, it's always been there, yeah, it's my right. We've got to rise out of that sort of thinking and say, Lord, you give me abundant life. See, God tailor makes for you the abundant life that he has. And therefore, you can trust him. The abundant life for you may look different to the abundant life for me. Probably does. But it starts with Jesus. When he becomes our Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit lives within inside us, and then the abundant life begins to flow. But we cut it off many times by our words. Well, I'm poor, I can't afford this, I can't do that. But you've got to change that sort of language and say, I thank you for abundant life, Lord. Right now, I've got all these bills, but I thank you for abundant life. You're going to help me in this. You've got to use wisdom, but he will. An abundant life is what Jesus intends for you. We have to confess it, the same word that Jesus spoke. Isaiah 53, once again, many great promises there that the Lord gives. But he starts off, who has believed our report? In other words, who's believing what we're saying? If we believe what he says, then we need to confess it. We need to say it. We might not see it now, but faith really is seeing something that doesn't already exist. And we can have that confidence with the Lord that it's happening. Romans 10:10 says to us, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so really to be born again, there needs to be a confession of sin, but a confession that God is greater than our sin and he has provided forgiveness of that sin through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can have eternal life with him. A speaking truth. And so, folks, let us rise up in our hearts. And you can't receive salvation by thinking about it. A lot of people have thought about it. They've been christened, they've been baptized, they've been prayed for, but until the confession comes, they cannot receive salvation. Health and well-being can be lost by the words of our mouth, because Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so what we say affects us. There have been neurological studies done that when you declare negative things about yourself, you are poisoning your own system. But when you start to express positive things, I don't mean stupid things, but positive things, then you are lifted up. Endorphins are released. You feel good. You feel better. And so when I get out of bed in the morning, I say, God, I thank you for the health. Even though I might have a headache or I feel crook or whatever it might be, I just say, thank you, Lord. You're my health. You're my strength. I walk in that today. I may not feel great, but you're greater than anything that afflicts my body. And you indwell. well. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit quickens our mortal bodies. That means makes it alive. And so I'm speaking life to my body. We often speak death. I don't feel good. You look in the mirror and you see yourself and that frightens you. And, oh man, there's a problem here. Don't say that. Speak positive. The devil's been very successful in using image to make us feel less. So, unless you look like a film star, shaped like one, then you're not making the grade. And social media will bombard you with all of these airbrushed photos of how great people look. Don't fall for that trick. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And in God's sight, you are beautiful to Him. Okay? Come on, guys. Speak nicely to yourself is what I'm saying. Okay. Then the third language of the kingdom is the language of glossolalia. Now, most of you might not know what that means. It means speaking in tongues. When we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we speak in another language. And how vital is that? God gave us that for a reason. I was thinking about it coming to church this morning. I was speaking in tongues and I thought, you know, the one thing about speaking in tongues or praise, I can't say negative things while I'm doing that. I might not think positively necessarily, but I can't, nothing negative can come out of my mouth because I'm speaking in the language of the kingdom. And therein lies the secret. Watch what you say. And if you think you've got negative thoughts, start speaking in tongues. Because the Spirit is praying through you and giving you the words. And you don't know what you're saying necessarily, but you don't know what God's doing because of that. I read a report one time that said if you can speak more than one language, that your likelihood of dementia is decreased. And then I thought about it. We've got tongues. I can only speak English. I got a few words of other languages, but I can only speak English. But if I can speak in tongues, something is happening in my brain. I'm trusting I'm not going to get dementia there. My brain will stay with me till I die, or until Jesus comes. So there's a very great importance in speaking in tongues. The Bible says we build ourselves up on our most holy faith by speaking in the Spirit or speaking in tongues. And so when we speak in that, something happens within us. We're building our spirit up, but we're also doing something in our soul at the same time. So I'm encouraging you, let the language of the Holy Spirit arise in you. We receive it by faith. We operate it by faith. Then in John 7:37, the scripture says, Jesus was at the feast, the great day of the feast, and he stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. This he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. God intends for you to replace Jesus. Jesus walked the earth. People were healed. People had their sins forgiven. The gospel was preached. But Jesus has returned to heaven. He is not on the earth preaching the gospel. The angels are not preaching the gospel. And when I say preaching the gospel, I'm talking about more than just sharing about salvation. We have to live the gospel. We have to be the gospel. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water. He didn't say little trickles. He didn't say the occasional stream. He said rivers. There's an implied thing there. In some years ago, I was at the Victoria Falls in Zambia. And I wasn't there in what they call the wet season. But even so, how impressive. The Zambezi River flowing down there. And it flows over the falls. They drop 100 metres. And because of the generation of water, there is like this cloud of moisture up in the air, and you can actually, while the falls are here, you can walk on across around here onto like a strip of land, so you're looking at the falls from the other side almost. And you have to wear a raincoat because the water is just... I had to put my camera in my pocket so it wouldn't get wet. And we, you know, you wear thongs on your feet and a raincoat just to try and to keep dry. But when you get back, you've got to dry yourself off because your clothes get wet as well. What am I saying? The mist is so great. And yet, that wasn't the wet season. You go there in the wet season and it's just amazing. It is an amazing place and you should go visit it if you can in your lifetime. It's worth seeing. First European to discover it was David Livingstone, and he named the Victoria Falls. What am I saying? That river is so powerful. It's just immense the way it flows down there. I can't remember the volume of water that goes over those falls every second, but it's huge. And Jesus didn't say a river. He said rivers would flow. But we've got to let them out. See, we dam them up. Nothing happens. We don't have an effect on somebody's life. We're not positive. But when we let the Holy Spirit work in us, we begin to speak in tongues. The rivers begin to flow in our life and they're touching other people, bringing them to life. And that is such an empowering process, which Jesus promised in Acts 1:8. He said, you'll be endued with power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The fourth language of the kingdom is language acceptable to God. Psalm 19 verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And Psalm 91 verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Listen, there are times that we offend God by what we say. I'm guilty of that, as you are, I'm sure. We think things, but thoughts are not always sin unless you act upon them. So one of the keys of language acceptable to God is the Word of God, so that we speak the Word of God, because he provided this for us. He either wrote it, which he did in the first five books of the Bible. He dictated it to Moses, but the rest is inspired as men heard God and they wrote it down. I'm amazed at what people like Peter wrote. He was a fisherman. And I would have to suggest if you read the books of Peter, he's equivalent to any university graduate in English, outstanding. And how was that? Because God inspired him, gave him the wisdom to do it, and down he wrote. He put it there. But what about we then have such a spirit in us that we're producing the Word of God, that we're speaking the Word of God in our life, so the truth is coming out? I'm going to say, what do you say? What do you speak when you speak? Do you speak the words of the Lord? Or do you speak the words of the football commentators, the cricket commentators, of the people who are politically motivated and how they speak and what they say? Or do you speak the words of the Lord? The day is here. The day is here. Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, you're lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I just want to encourage you this morning, don't be a lukewarm Christian. Become a hot Christian. Because the days are late. There are things happening in our world that are dramatic. Dramatic. Which point to the second coming, or point to the rapture, but then the second coming later on. That we need to be aware of. I don't want anybody in this church to miss out on the rapture. And so my heart is, don't be a lukewarm Christian. Determine to go on. And therefore, what do you say? Declare the word of God. See, I'm not going to say, I will say of Scott Morrison, or I will say of Anastasia Palaszczuk, or Confucius, or Buddha, or Muhammad. I will not say of them, but I will say of God and his word and the power of his word. And the declaration of his word and the influence of his word. You sit on a miracle. And I'm not talking about your rear portion. This sight is a miracle. It was we're probably about 4 metres above the original land where we built. We had to fill. We paid $4 million in fill on this land. So it gives you an idea of how much work's gone into it. But for 4 years, We had to battle to get here. We just couldn't get through council. We had every right to, but we just couldn't. One of the CEOs leaving said, I've never seen an organisation treated as badly as your organisation by the council. And so we endured that and we prayed. Every Sunday afternoon we'd gather in prayer and make the declaration. I knew that God had given us this land. I wasn't going to budge. I wasn't going to back down. So we encouraged the church, pray with us, believe that we can do something here. And God undertook. It took 4 years. 4 years of fighting in the spirit, because Satan doesn't like you to occupy land. He opposes it. He fights it. That's why he filled 10 of the spies with fear when they saw the giants, so that they wouldn't possess the land. And they didn't for another 40 years. They delayed their going into this promised land simply because they believed a lie from Satan. We fought for 4 years. Thankfully, we weren't in the desert for those 4 years, but we had to fight. We had to declare the word of the Lord. We had to stand in faith. We had to praise God despite the circumstances. And eventually, God raised up a man named Col Meng to be mayor of Mackay. I'm not saying the previous mayors wouldn't have helped us, but it just didn't work out. But Col Meng was only there for one period, but he turned everything around. So I believe God put Col Meng in as mayor. And he changed things. One of the guys who chiefly opposed us, Cole said, you will help them to do everything they need to do to make this happen. He changed dramatically and we were helped and we moved forward. So folks, language of the kingdom. We are kingdom people. Apili, would you come up? I want to sing that song again. I want Apili to sing it over you again. I speak Jesus. And when you're facing a trial, a tribulation, when you're seeing sickness come to people you love, why don't you speak Jesus? Speak Jesus to all of the things. This is a powerful song. I encourage you, play this to yourself. Get it on YouTube. There you can listen to it. I'm sure you can download it. You know, it's out there. But it's a powerful song. I speak Jesus. I release him into circumstances and situations to change lives. Thanks, Apili.
Every stronghold shut through the shadows. chorus one more time.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through.
This morning by speaking the name of Jesus. I want to speak it over you. You may need it, you may not need it, but you may know somebody who does, or members of your family need to have the name of Jesus spoken over them. If you play this song in your home, you will open something up in the spiritual realm of life and blessing and faith. Can I ask you to stand this morning? Pop your masks on for me. Stand up, and I'm going to pray the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I just speak your name over every person here, over every need, over every desperation, over every lost family member, over every sickness, over every financial struggle, over every relationship breakdown. I speak the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we loose you and expect you in the midst of every circumstance in our lives. You made such a great promise that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And right now our hearts open to you and say, Jesus, you're with us. We speak your name. We speak it in love. We speak it. Blessing I can bestow on you this morning is I speak Jesus. I speak Jesus. I speak Jesus. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Give you peace and his love. Amen and amen. God bless you all.